So this week we finish up the song of my heart. And as we've been saying through these psalms, the psalms aren't really something we teach through as much as they are meant to be felt by us. My guess is most of us, all of us maybe, have someone in our story who loved us when we didn't deserve it. When we were unlovable, when we were really difficult to love. Someone who stuck by our side, who hung out with us through thick and thin. Someone who refused to leave when it would have been really easy to leave. This is the story of a lady named Irena Sindler. She was a Polish social worker in Nazi-occupied Poland. She was a social worker, and the Nazis came in and took over. And there they forced over 450,000 Jews into what was called the Warsaw Ghetto, about a 1 square mile city block fenced with concrete walls and barbed wire so that people could not escape. And as a social worker, she made it her mission to find a way to continually get inside those walls and bring aid to the Jewish people who were hurting. And through her courageous action, she was able to rescue over 2,500 Jewish children from the Warsaw Ghetto and bring them to safety. And the reason that she did that is because she saw them as her own children. She loved them. She had compassion on them. She wanted to do whatever she could to help them, even at the risk of her own life. Because what she was doing was highly illegal. And if she was caught, she would certainly be put to death. She had a practice of rescuing these children and keeping detailed records of who they were in hopes that one day she could reunite them with their parents. Sadly, the majority of their parents never made it out of concentration camps, or for many, even out of the ghetto in Warsaw. But that is a love that has no end. She was caught. She was, of course, convicted. They broke her legs, they broke her feet, and they sentenced her to death. But because of some courageous friends, they were able to bribe guards to free her from the concentration camp where she was imprisoned. And she managed to live until 2008, able to share her story with the world. That love is special. That's love you don't see every day. The Jews had a word for that type of love. And the word is hesed. It is a loyal love. A covenant love. A love that refuses to leave. A love that refuses to leave even when it breaks your heart to stay. It is the way that God described himself to Moses. After the golden calf, after God says, I'm going to show you my glory, Moses gets another chance to see God, and God passes by. And as he passes by, he proclaims to Moses, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in hesed. That's that word, hesed, abounding in hesed. And that really is the anchor of this psalm this morning, hesed. And as we've said through this series, I just want to encourage you just to listen, not to flip open your Bible and just read along and get lost in the words, but I truly want you to feel this psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? For the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay according to our iniquities. No, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with his children's children, those who keep his covenant, those who remember his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obey his word. Praise the Lord, you his heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. And the anchor of that psalm is the word hesed. It's God's loyal love, his abounding love, his love that refuses to let go, his love that refuses to leave, even when everything inside of him would say, it's time to give up. They don't have a chance. It's not sentimental. It's not soft. It's covenant. It's concrete. Jacob, after years and years of running, has this opportunity where he thanks God for his goodness. And in Exodus 32, as he visits with God, Genesis 32. Here's what Jacob says to God: I am unworthy of all the hesed and faithfulness you have shown your servant. God, I'm unworthy. David, in Psalm 136, uses this as his refrain. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Your hesed endures forever. Israel broke the covenant, But God didn't tear it up. He chose to redeem it with the blood of his son. Because human love says, I will love you as long as you make me happy, as long as you do what I want you to do. But Hesed says, I will love you even if you break my heart, and I will never leave you. But if the anchor is this word, Hesed, the heartbeat of it is this refrain, do not forget. Do not forget. Forget not all his benefits. It's God who forgives our sins. It's God who heals our diseases. It's God who rescues us, redeems us out of the pit. It's God who crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desire for good things. Do not forget. Because we have a tendency to forget. One of the things we're commanded more than anything else in Scripture is to remember. It's the Hebrew word zikar. But it doesn't just simply mean remember to remember. It's to bring to mind in order to act. So when God says, I remembered my covenant, God isn't saying, oh, wow, I'd forgotten I had made this promise to these people. I'm glad I remembered. When it talks about God remembering, it's God remembering to act. So when God remembers, he acts. But for you and I, when we remember, we worship. We worship because we have a tendency to forget. And worship reminds us. It reminds us our place in this world. It reminds us who we are, and it reminds us who God is. It brings us back into our proper place. See, God was terrified, I think, for us as people. When they would enter the promised land, he knew that they would be so proud of what they had done that they would forget that it was God who did all of this. And he reminds them, don't forget God who brought you out of the land, who has given you this new spacious land. Because when you get there and you settle down and you're comfortable and everything is okay, you're going to say to yourself, it was the strength of my hands that produced this wealth for me. But he says this in verse 18, but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Remember. He tells us in the law, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. He tells the Jews that you're going to put tassels on the corners of your garments. Speak to the Israelites. Say to them throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at and you will remember all the commands of the Lord that you may obey them and not prostitute yourself by chasing after the lust of your own heart and eyes. Remember, remember, remember. Remember that it is God that has given you this land. Remember the Sabbath day that I have set apart. Remember my word through these tassels. Remember. And it's interesting that he continually tells us that. Why? Why would he tell us over and over and over to remember? Because we so easily forget. Now, I'm aware that in this room, most of you don't have any type of problems remembering things. I would make the assumption most of you didn't walk into a room this morning and forget why you walked in the first place. Don't look at your neighbor. especially if it's your spouse. But we have a tendency to forget. And I think part of the problem with our memories isn't as much biological as it is everything that's going on around us. The notifications on your phone that are constantly beeping and buzzing. The noise from social media. The noise from the news constantly distracts us. And it constantly pulls us away from what matters. Because it is easy to forget. And I'm sure you've probably noticed what God feared for the people when they would enter the promised land. That the more comfortable you become, the more you aren't forced to rely on someone else for your next meal, to rely on someone for your safety, for your well-being, for your belonging, the easier it is for you and I to start thinking, man, look at all that I have done. Look at how great of a world I have built. I remember when I first went into youth ministry, I was 23, 24 years old. And we had done a couple things that were really cool. And I remember walking away from those, and I was just thinking, man, they sure are lucky to have me. But you know what's really funny? Is God is really good in those moments about humbling us very quickly. If my wife doesn't beat him to the punch. But my guess is I'm not alone in those thoughts from time to time. But what God wants the people to remember is that it is His goodness and His grace, His chesed, that is the only reason that you are here. It is the only reason that you have life, that you have breath in your lungs, that you can even think about and plan for tomorrow. It is because of His chesed. What is it that helps our memories? I started thinking about that. Several people have asked me about memorizing Scripture. And it's not hard. Anyone can do it. It just takes time. And here's what I kind of figured out. I made an equation for you, okay? Here's how you memorize Scripture, right? Controlled input plus repetition equals memorization. Controlled input, you go through it over and over and over and over and over and over, and I'll keep going for a while. Over and over and over and over. And you repeat it. You control what comes in, and you repeat it. And you do that, and you can memorize anything. But our problem is so much of the time, it's not controlled input. It's uncontrolled input. And it's not repetition. It's not something that's constantly coming at us. It's distraction. We have all these uncontrolled inputs. We have all these distractions. And that leads to forgetfulness. But What God says is not, I want you to memorize my laws, my commands, my covenant. I want you to remember them. And I started thinking about that. What's the difference between memorization and remembering? Remembering is that controlled input, but it's intentional reflection. And it equals remembering. It's not just that we control what comes in. It's also that we actually reflect on it. See, here's what I found about the beauty of memorizing Scripture, okay? Is it is with you constantly. So when I start memorizing a passage, I usually do it most of the time on the drive, dropping Caleb off to school to the office. And it's about 15 minutes. And so I can get through a psalm probably three times just repeating it. And so if you pass me on the street, I'm not singing, I'm not talking to someone on the phone. I'm just going through a psalm out loud, talking. And I'm controlling it. But what I've found in doing that is with you constantly. And throughout the day, all of these moments come up where you start thinking, That's God's hesed. Or it reminds me, don't forget all his benefits. It's him who forgives my sins. It's him who heals my diseases. It's he who rescued me from the pit. He reminds me that my life is like a flower in the field. It flourishes, it grows up, but the wind blows it away and it's gone. And then I love this line, its place remembers it no more. Right? Think about how many generations are in your family. How many generations can you count back and know who they were? My guess is most of you aren't going to get past great-great grandparents, the majority of people in here, before you don't even know who they were. I mean, can you imagine that? 100 years, 150, 200 years from now, no one will even know who you are. Right? This is crazy. I walk back on the Harding University campus, they don't know that I was a catcher on the 1998 to 2002 baseball team. They don't ask for autographs. I'm hurt. But isn't it amazing how quickly we are forgotten? And the funny thing is, for most of us, we think the world revolves around us. We think the world, or I'm sorry, we think our world is the world. And we don't even think about stories out of a war in Poland. But we remember. We remember. Because memorization fills your head. Remembering fills your heart. You take it with you everywhere you go. And the problem with forgetting is forgetfulness is the enemy of worship. When we forget God's hesed, when we forget God's goodness, his loving kindness, we don't worship the way we should. We don't. But remembering is the soil of gratitude. When we think back on God's goodness, when we remember it, it causes gratitude to grow in our life, to flourish, and to give us breath in our lungs. Remember. Remember God's hesed. Father, we thank you for this time. God, we are grateful for all of the ways that you continually show us love and mercy and grace. Father, your chesed endures forever. Father, it's our prayer that our lives today look more and more like Jesus. That we embrace your ways. That we love your word. And Father, that we surrender to Jesus our Lord. And Father, this is not a one-time decision that we make. It's not just something we do at baptism. It's something we do every morning. Every morning that your mercies are made new to us. We thank you. We praise you. For your love endures forever.